This is the March 26, 2024 Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. For everyone in attendance, this is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony this morning will please sign in if you haven't already. The sign-in is out the front door. All witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. And all of these proceedings this morning are recorded for the record. The decisions of this Board of Appeals are final decisions. Challenges or appeals to these decisions must be made to the Superior Court of Chatham County. May we stand and say the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, first matter on the agenda is the approval of the February 27th, 2024 minutes. Has everyone on the board had an opportunity to read those minutes? And if so, are there any edits or changes that need to be made? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve?
Chairman, I move the minutes be approved.
I'll second.
All right, very well. By voice vote, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. We're going to move into the regular agenda this morning, and I see that we have one item on the regular agenda, and that is a variance request for 7 Highwater Court with respect to a riparian buffer. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Anna McQuarrie, staff here at the MPC.
Good morning. So you're here representing staff this morning. You have the floor. What's going on?
Great. I'm just going to bring up the staff report. All right. So just to begin, the nature of this request, it's a variance to reduce Chatham County's riparian buffer from 35 feet to 10 feet. To construct a residential single-family structure on the lot. Property is about 0.25 acres. It's located within a one-family residential environmental overlay zoning district, 7 Highwater Court. According to surveys submitted by the petitioner, the current buildable lot area is approximately 281 square feet, and the requested variance will allow for approximately 2,884 square feet. So here you can see the property. It's out on Wilmington Island. It's this one highlighted in yellow. It is adjacent to the salt marsh. And so I'm just going to show some exhibits submitted by the petitioner so you can get a better idea of this parcel. So here in red is a submitted document showing the remaining developable area. This line back here, the CMPA, the Coastal Marshlands Protection Act jurisdictional limits, as surveyed in 2021. And so then usually there is the state riparian buffer required of 25 feet and then the Chatham County, which is 35 feet, an additional 10. So here we have the proposed lot plan. That you can see. And so this is again submitted by the petitioner. This line here is if that variance were put in place. So now there's 10 feet between this jurisdictional marsh line. And this would be 10 feet. And then here we have the proposed structure. And then you can notice this is 25 feet in the front yard here, setback. Here's the schematic building section, so it would be elevated. And then, again, submitted by the applicant, the Betts Creek cul-de-sac. So we do have some existing properties at 3 and 5 Highwater Court. This is 7. Here, This is 6 High Water Court. An elevated structure has been recently completed and built within, I'd say, probably the last year here. And over, I believe this is 4 High Water Court. It is empty. All right, great. I've got a lot of background information for you. So if you want to read into it more, I welcome you to do that, but I'll try to give you the high level overview. And so just as some background, the petitioner, Robert Portman, on behalf of the property owner, requested to reduce this buffer, and that is due to the available developable area. But because this is in the R1 EO zoning district, it does require that 35-foot buffer as measured from the Department of Natural Resources jurisdictional marsh line established by the CMPA. The Betts Creek subdivision was created in 2001. The existing homes of the subdivision that are on the ground were built in 2003, so they don't meet that current environmental standard. So just a couple of findings. This lot is 0.25 acres. The front yard setback requirement is 55 feet, the side yard 5, the rear yard is 35. And so right now this proposed lot plan situates a dwelling at 25-foot front yard setback and 10 feet from the salt marsh jurisdictional line. There is a 10-foot utility easement on the east side of the variance. The west side setback is unknown. So this proposed plan would additionally require a front yard setback. So just some relevant environmental overlay district standards. So I think it's important here to revisit the purpose and the intent of the environmental overlay, which is to establish supplemental standards to bolster those currently in the Chatham County zoning ordinance in order to protect and enhance community character, provide for safe and orderly development, protect environmental quality, especially the estuarine system that surrounds the community. So again, the structure will be raised, but it does not meet the 35-foot buffer requirement. All right. So we do need to go into a little bit of analysis of state regulations here, because the state buffer is provided by Georgia Code 1276. And so with that, it does provide an exemption with this building to the salt marsh. So for lots platted prior to December 31st, 2015, if roadways, bridges, or water and sewer lines have been extended to such lot prior to 2015, and the platted lot otherwise available for development, provided that adequate erosion control measures are incorporated into the project plans and specification, and such measures are fully implemented. So High Water Court extends to the cul-de-sac where 7 High Water Court is located. Two parcels are fully developed, with one in construction and now I believe fully constructed. When I went out there, it seems like someone is living there. And this cul-de-sac is served by City of Savannah Water and Sewer and Chatham County Stormwater. But it's also important to note that this code also states that nothing contained in this chapter shall prevent any local issuing authority from adopting rules and regulations, ordinances, resolutions, which contain stream buffer requirements that exceed the minimum requirements in this section. So therefore, Chatham County is allowed to adopt that 35-foot buffer, and that's why we're here today, because despite the state exemption there, they do need a variance from the local buffer. So here I do have some relevant development standards, which I've already covered, but this is just taken straight from the text, if you're curious. And this is again important to note that environmental overlay district standards is set to comply with the Coastal Marshlands Protection Act of 1970. It doesn't necessarily link itself to the Sedimentation Act. So if you can read the intent of the Coastal Marshlands Protection Act, so I'll just read number one. Georgia's coastal marshlands have long been recognized by the General Assembly and the Board as a vital natural resource system, a vital area of the state, and essential to maintain the health, safety, and welfare of all citizens of the state. Chatham County does contain approximately 228 square miles of wetlands, and this environmental overlay district is intended to protect them. Here we do have the relevant sections of the Conservation and Natural Resources Control of Erosion and Sedimentation management practice minimum requirement for rules, regulations, ordinances. That's where that state buffer exemption comes from. So again, I have that language here for you if you'd like to read it. Because we are looking at this coastal property, I think it is important to note the future conditions projected to exist here as well. And so the coastal environment is a dynamic ecosystem that is going to change. As sea level rises, property owners cannot expect current development and conditions to reflect future conditions. So here what I have for you, this is from NOAA, the annual relative sea level rise since 1960 and projections from the Fort Pulaski tide gauge. And so what we can see here is in an intermediate scenario, you have about 0.95 feet, so almost 1 foot of sea level rise projected for by 2040 and 1.64 feet in 2060. In a high scenario, you have projected sea level rise at 1.12 feet in 2040 and 2.4 feet in 2060. So essentially, in less than 20 years, the Georgia coast is projected to experience approximately 1 foot of sea level rise. And so the ocean connected sea level rise inundation is mapped out to demonstrate the impact here. And so therefore this parcel will experience additional flooding. So I have a map here. Again, this data is from NOAA's 2022 sea level rise projection data. In the dark blue, you can see where 1 foot of sea level rise would be. And in the lighter blue, you can see 2 feet. And so we can tell that water levels will rise. And again, this is not accounting for even tidal flooding. This is just inundation. So just a little bit more information. I'm not going to read through all of this, but there is a report specifically for the Georgia coast on vegetated buffers in the coastal zone. And so this essentially is describing coastal squeeze, which can cause additional flooding. So, you know, wetland buffers maintain and protect the forest vegetated connections between wetland and upland areas, and they preserve vital wetland ecological functions. And so the additional flooding caused by an increase in sea level can drown the vegetation in at the seaward edge, converting it to open water. So that's what we're going to see here. If there are no barriers, the upland edge converts to marsh and the entire area moves inland. Again, this is a dynamic moving ecosystem. If there is no area available for this migration to occur, marsh is lost due to a decrease in the intertidal area and a phenomenon known as coastal squeeze. Coastal marshes are particularly susceptible to this loss because they have gradual slopes. So a small change in the vertical dimension due to sea level rise translates to a relatively larger change in the horizontal dimension. So essentially what this means, as you have an increase of water here, that salt marsh is holding it. It's absorbing it. It's protecting those properties. However, that salt marsh is going to be converted to open water. So that water will have nowhere to go. There is less, you know, available space between a built property and where the water is to protect it from flooding. It is important to note, I'm not a lawyer, but I do want to advise here. There is potential for, you know, this to be a regulatory takings case. The kind of baseline go-to case here to look at is Lucas versus Coastal South Carolina Coastal Council, which essentially established found that a taking that requires fair compensation exists when the government creates a regulation that negates all economically beneficial use of a property, and state nuisance law would have permitted such a use. So in this context, you know, Chatham County will likely need to address this issue because other properties may be having the same problem as well. All right, so that was a lot of background, but again, I think it's really important to note kind of all the different issues here. Again, we live in a really dynamic system, and while it's beautiful, we do need to respect it. All right, so we've gotten to the variance criteria. You know, are there extraordinary and exceptional conditions pertaining to the particular piece of property in question because of its size, shape, or topography? So Seven High Water Court is at approximately 7 feet of elevation with the back of the parcel at 5 to 6. The two developed properties that were built in 2003, their highest point of elevation is about 8 feet. And so Wilmington Island is expected to face sea level rise. So that, again, this will these properties are expected to experience this phenomenon known as coastal squeeze. The application of this chapter, this particular piece of property, would create an unnecessary hardship. Yes, it does create a hardship, but it is a necessary one. This is to protect the property owner, their belongings, in addition to protecting this valuable ecosystem. This parcel is in a high-risk flood zone. It's in a special flood hazard area, meaning there is a 1% annual chance of flooding and at least a 1 in 4 chance of flooding during a 30-year mortgage period. And so this puts a property owner at risk. All right. Such conditions are peculiar to this particular piece of property. We have about 228 square miles of wetlands in Chatham County. And so many of these properties in Chatham County must deal with a wetland buffer. And so, you know, this property was purchased in 2005. The overlay standards were updated in 2010. So this standard has been in place for approximately 14 years at this point. Relief, if granted, would not cause a substantial detriment to the public good or impair the purposes in Adam County zoning ordinance. So I've already gone over the intent of the environmental overlay district and the intent of the CMPA. And so the CMPA recognizes that protecting the function and value of coastal marshlands is part of the public interest. And so this, you know, having that buffer between the salt marsh not only protects the salt marsh, but it protects the property owner. Again, you know, there is potential, I'm not a lawyer, but there is potential for, you know, a regulatory takings case by enforcing the setback and buffer requirements. So in the end, the MPC staff recommends denial of the request for the variance to reduce Chatham County's riparian buffer from 35 to 10 feet. All right. And so I do have some photos as well. Just if we want to get a better view. So here we have 7 high water court. In the cul-de-sac, this is 3 and 5 high water court. So the two structures built in 2003. This is 6 high water court. It looks like this was constructed in the last year. The property is a little bit larger there. And this is 4 high water court, so an undeveloped parcel on the cul-de-sac. Just have a panoramic photo. This is the property line between 6 and 7 high water court. And then we do have a bridge to and from the cul-de-sac as well. So you can kind of see the environment in which we're, the cul-de-sac is situated in. And then this is the special flood hazard area sign located at the entrance to Betts Creek here. And we do have the Fermet. So looking at, if you're curious about the special flood hazard area, you can see here a little bit more. So this is from FEMA. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That was very informative.
Very thorough.
Let me say at the outset, I don't care about Lucas, okay, nor should this board. Whether there is precedential authority at the Supreme Court or other level is not for this board to consider. We are here to determine what the law is and apply the facts to the law. And in this case, if there's a reasonable reason to do a variance, we will consider that. Okay. So all this discussion about Supreme Court, don't care. Okay. Any questions of staff? Go ahead.
So when you were out there and you were discussing, like, if they build out, it'll be impermeable. The marsh will have nowhere to go. So when the water flows in, is it detrimental to the homes around it? Will it affect their flood levels as well?
Oh, yes. I don't want to speak, you know, definitively. I know exactly the future, but this entire subdivision, Wilmington Island, we can look at sea level rise maps for this entire area. Certain areas at higher elevation are going to be probably less impacted. However, I would anticipate that all the properties at this subdivision will be impacted by sea level rise and flooding issues and have increased flooding.
But what I'm asking is if this was granted and the owner builds, they're going to have an impermeable concrete base where their cars sit. So when the marsh starts to come in with that sea level rise, it has nowhere to go. That flow of water, how will it affect the houses around it? Will it also cut into their marsh buffer as well? Because it has to go somewhere.
Right. The water will have to go somewhere. I would anticipate, you know, that it's not going to be absorbed. It will sit there. You know, the marsh is there. It absorbs that water. If you have impermeable surface, it's not going to have that absorption. Obviously, we have the stormwater systems there. There will be some drainage. You know, it just may take a different amount of time, a longer amount of time. And so that water will have to go somewhere. It may just sit there. It may drain off into one of the other ditches. And so I would anticipate more flooding and having that entire cul-de-sac experience that flooding.
Okay. Ma'am, would you put the picture of the house that is just being built or been built up? I think that's – is that three?
Here we are. It's at six high
water.
It's
six. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it looks like that's a larger lot.
Yes, this is 0.39 acres, whereas seven high water court is 0.25.
Now, I've been on the board for a number of years. I don't remember granting a easement in this case. So does it meet the rules? I mean, is it 35 feet from the marsh?
I don't know whether you measured have the not. Land survey for that particular property. However, I'm going to go to this aerial site map here, so you can see it a little bit. Oh, well, that was not good. Is there a towel? This is not ideal. Water everywhere, you know? You just never know where water's going to go, truly.
Sir, if I'm understanding your question, at the time that these lots were platted, I do not believe that this regulation was in place. So chances are what we're seeing on the map reflects what was appropriate at the time, if that makes sense.
But this house is new, isn't it? So wouldn't it be under the current rules? I mean, the one had the seven high water court is a relatively new house. So certainly built during the time that I've been on the board. So I don't remember us ever granting a variance for them to build, and they would certainly be under the same rules and regulations as the house next door, I would think.
My apologies, sir. We were not able to locate a variance that was granted for that lot, but we will definitely investigate how it is that was permitted.
Can staff tell the board when the environmental overlay was actually approved by the county? Say again.
2010.
2010. Thank you.
You can see the updated page in the ordinance. So each page will have when it was passed, and that page was updated in 2010.
All right. Let me ask a few questions, see if we can get some baseline here. The subject property is only a quarter of an acre?
Correct.
Okay. And the standards for R1 development for a home which is served by public water and sewer, which I assume this is, correct?
Yes. So this is served by City of Savannah Water and Sewer, and I believe Chatham County Stormwater.
All right. So the minimum lot area required is 6,000 square feet. Do we meet that?
Yes.
Okay. A minimum lot width of 60 feet. Do we meet that?
So because this was already platted, it does not meet 60 feet at the front, but as you go further back, it does. But I believe on a cul-de-sac, you have, 20%?
Right. So on a permanent dead end, you're permitted to have a 20% reduction in that frontage. And it has to meet the lot width at the building envelope. So the actual width is measured from the building envelope, but you can permit it with that 20% reduction on the cul-de-sac itself.
So the answer is yes, it does meet the 60 foot.
It does. Yes, sir.
All right. Side yard setback of 5 feet. The side yard setbacks were a little murky here.
There was a 10-foot utility easement on the east side. The west side was unknown based on the survey plot.
We have a front yard setback of 55 feet.
So based on this, we have it at 25 feet based for this survey proposed plan.
All right. So that would require a variance as well. Am I right?
Correct.
And then finally, we have the issue involving the riparian buffer. And they're asking for a variance from 35 down to 10 feet from the DNR jurisdictional line. Okay. Is this a question of statutory interpretation here? As I'm understanding it, the Georgia regulations really don't apply here.
So with the state riparian buffer of 25 feet, you'll find that information. Let's see where it is. Here we go. In this conservation, natural resources, control, erosion, and sedimentation best management practices. And so there is an exemption here for lots platted prior to 2015. And if the requirement to maintain a 25-foot buffer would consume at least 18% of the high ground of the platted lot, otherwise available for development, and you have roads, sewer, and water services, then it is exempted from that rule.
And does the petitioner meet the prior to 2015 platting requirement?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I have spoken with people at Georgia EPD, and so the interpretation of this is for soil and erosion, a sedimentation requirement, and so Chatham County is allowed to have more strict requirements, and that's noted in Section C here, that allows local issuing authorities to adopt more requirements. They just can't adopt less requirements.
Any other questions from the board of staff at this point? Go ahead.
So the two existing structures, three high water and five high water, looking at them from an aerial point on the map, do you know if they were built prior to this Chatham County ruling?
They were built in 2003.
Okay.
So there was only the 25-foot requirement. At that point,
are there any rules about if you grant variance for going into that riparian buffer that it has to have X amount of impermeable surface? Do you know?
Generally speaking, there is a maximum of 40% lot coverage that would typically include the standards vary. I want to say it's things that have roofs. But impervious is not a direct aspect of that lot coverage provision, but generally speaking, that's what we're looking at when we're developing a single family lot.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions of staff at this point? We're going to reserve right to ask you some more questions if need be.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Who is here to speak on behalf of the petitioner this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Robert Portman, Barnard Architects. Okay. I'm used to standing up here for historic review boards and HPCs. So I'm just an architect here, and kind of think I need to be an attorney and have Harold Yellen here with us. However, I'll do my best.
We have two of those on the board.
So. Haven't figured that out already.
I'm here on behalf of both the owner of this property as well as potential buyer, the Pearson family, who are looking at building on this lot and raising their family on it in this cul-de-sac. I could go to my presentation. Here we go. A little dark, I apologize. This is a Google Earth image, and in highlight is what appears to be a hammock that this property was on. Just for relativity, we have Johnny Mercer, and we have Wall Tower. River Oaks is here. This was early 90s, before Betts Creek was developed, and as well as this hammock. Giving a little extra background information here for how do I go forward. Oh. Staff has shown the photograph and aerial of High Water Court in the cul-de-sac. 3, 5, 7, 6, and an empty lot crossed by a ridge to access it. Again, we have marsh all the way around High Water Court. Photographs are already seen. So, yes, in 2001, MPC and Chatham County Engineering has approved this plat, approved the plat to for High Water Court. It was act, you know, a bridge was put up and this was approved. The homeowners, including, Jackie Mueller, you know, purchased on this property with the dream of building on it. That didn't occur over the years, but here we are today with a new, family who wishes to build on it. I live about a mile away, in Copperfield Plantation. Copperfield Plantation, if anybody knows aware of it, we have a small lake and a large lake. Now, a small lake is fed by, is tidal. It's fed by Betts Creek. It's brackish. And the runoff from our roads go into storm sewer and go into Betts Creek or go into this lake. And it's fed into Betts Creek. And the reason why I mention that is, you know, yes, we have concerns over the marsh buffer, but what about the road? What about the cul-de-sac? What about the runoff from there into the marsh? Just want to put that out there. The area 228 square miles. Chatham County. I tried to do the math on that of how many square feet that is. My calculator wouldn't go up that high. 1 square mile is 27,878,400 square feet. Okay. Now, the 35-foot marsh buffer on this property is approximately 3,100 square feet. We're asking for reduced down to 10 feet, which is 1,308 square feet. Which is about 2,000 square feet that we're asking for of encroaching into the 228 square miles that surrounds Chatham County. Yes, we understand projected sea rise. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. You know, this is going to affect, correct. It's going to affect the entire cul-de-sac, not just this lot. We feel that staff has singled out this lot, but it's not just this lot. It's the entire coast. It's all of us that live on Wilmington Island that's going to be affected. The other thing it's important to point out is that this lot, if it did receive a flood, it's going to flow underneath the house. This lot is required to meet the new V-zone design certificate. Lot 6 had to meet this. Lot 7 will have to meet this. This means that when it's constructed, it will be almost equivalent to and or equal to construction of a tidy house. It will be required to meet the wave action that's anticipated to, you know, to hit the structure. So our design for the house will be raised, will be elevated. It'll be a low country style. We designed Horsepen Creek off of Jones Avenue in Tybee Island. And that, those are duplexes, not houses. However, our design approach was for it to be raised because it was required to be raised. And in this section, just like at 6 High Water Court, we will park underneath. The slab cannot dig into the ground. That's a requirement, Chatham County Engineering. We cannot cut into the ground. It has to be placed on top of it. Can't take out any grade. So the sediment is reduced. Any sediment cutting into the soil is reduced. But what we did at Horsepen Creek, and in a lot of our houses is having a living area and then having our bedrooms underneath the roof. And this works well for us. It also keeps the roof down below the required 36 feet. In fact, we're at 31 feet of elevation, right now based on the schematic. The other feature that we're showing on our proposed plan is to cantilever the back deck. The back deck and its structure will not touch the buffer, will not go into the buffer. Neither will the stairs. It will float over top of it. So the 10 feet of buffer will remain vegetated, will remain natural. The homeowners, like any homeowner who wants to build a house on the marsh, they want to have a view and we would give that to them with this balcony or with this porch. So, you know, to sum up here, you know, we have a lot that, this one's wet. Sorry. There are extraordinary and exceptional conditions pertaining to the particular piece of property in question because of its size, shape, and topography. Well, it's pretty clear that that's what we're, you know, that image there. You know, that's why we're here this morning. The applicant of this chapter to this particular piece of property would create an unnecessary hardship. We hope going forward we could build this single family house on this property and enjoy it just like all the other neighbors, in Betts Creek. You know, I drove through and what strikes me is, looking at this image, we have two houses on the left. We have an empty lot, and then we have a house on the right and an empty lot. It looks undeveloped. And I think the intent, the original intent of Chatham County Engineering, Chatham County FPC, and the developers was to have a cul-de-sac with homeowners on, with Halloween, with trick-or-treating, with not empty lots. And all these years, we have two empty lots, and we hope that there'll be one empty lot when it's all said and done. You know, relief if granted would cause substantial detriment to the public good. Again, we're talking 2,000 square feet that we're encroaching into the marsh. We have a road that's its runoff is running into the marsh. I think substantial detriment is a little harsh, in my opinion. Again, I I open up for one other thing. This is a lot at, where is it? Quarterman, just, I guess east of 80. I'm showing this to show the barrier system that we intend and we will put up, the contractor will put up along the buffer, to have a silt fence. The other thing is this lot was cleared probably 6 months ago and it's left uncleared. It's just sitting there. It's kind of sad. I drive by it every morning on the way to work, and we don't want this for high water court. We want to, go in, protect the lot, put the silt fence in and go to work, and not have it cleared like what this is. I think I'm going to stop my presentation and take any questions.
I have a question. You mentioned that the slab won't be undercutting any of the soil. I saw that you had a 4-inch slab on your section.
That's correct.
Is the case that as the lot, I guess, gets closer into the marsh, your slab is going to get thicker?
No. This is an approximate layout. We had to, as an architect, we needed to come up with an idea of the size, the scope. We put together this. There's a rectangle where the cars are, and this rectangle represents a slab, a concrete slab placed on the ground. So it would stop at the 10-foot county marsh setback line. It would not extend over. That answer your question?
It does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Portman,
yes,
I want to be kind of clear where we're going here. Your presentation this morning, in my opinion, deals with the mitigation and the equities of the situation, factual equities. Okay. The staff's report suggested to me that there may be a challenge to the county's environmental overlay 35-foot riparian requirement. Is it the petitioner's position that the 35-foot environmental overlay requirement is the law in Chatham County? Is there a challenge coming here? Is what I'm asking. And the reason I say that is you heard my comments about the Supreme Court decision a few minutes ago, and I have looked and I've seen no other challenges in Chatham County to that riparian 35-foot environmental overlay requirement. And I'm smelling something here.
No, sir.
And I just want to make clear so the board will understand this is not a challenge to the environmental overlay. You're here this morning to discuss the equities of why you should be allowed to encroach upon that 35.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Makes sense to the board?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Well, in asking for the variance from the rear, did you also ask for a variance from?
We did not. It's our understanding the front setback line from Department of Developmental Safety is 25 feet. We are not requesting any extension into the front setback line.
Hmm.
This exhibit shows current 25-foot setback line, purple arc here. Our building is behind that in this proposed plan.
So are we even ripe this morning for?
That's what I was going to say. Do we have some clarification as to actually what the setback line is?
So the front setback in the county is measured from the center line of the right-of-way, so that would be the center point of the cul-de-sac. And, again, that requirement is 55 feet.
I have not done the math of where 55 feet is, other than here we have a survey from a registered surveyor, which shows a 25-foot building setback line, which we've used as our guidance. So with reference to the distance of 55 foot to this line, I cannot say personally or by my math that it was that's the correct location. However, this is a from a registered surveyor.
Did I understand you to say the 55 foot is measured from the middle of the cul-de-sac?
That's correct. It's measured generally from the center line of the right-of-way.
Okay.
So not the property line.
Okay. So do we know where that is on this map? Because I think we need to go there first.
Yeah.
So based on this drawing here, we're seeing that this segment here represents 45 feet, and then you have the 10-foot line. So at this point right here, the tree line, tree easement, you're at roughly 55 feet at this line here. If you all are able to see the tip of my cursor.
Okay.
So the plans as proposed would satisfy the 55 foot.
County zoning ordinance. Three dwellings. And again, just for the board's reference, we can see here, minimum front yard setback from the center line, from center line for this would be 55 feet served by public water and sewer, one family dwellings attached, all other districts. So 55, here is that standard for clarification.
So you're saying that the survey does meet that?
It would appear that it does.
So the petitioner's position is you didn't need to request a variance
for the
front yard.
For the front. I think the front is okay. What is at issue is the 10 feet that are at difference between the state and the local requirement.
So back to this exhibit, 25 foot current front yard setback line, which is where my cursor is not being encroached. We're not encroaching it.
Okay. Just want to understand what's before us.
Yes, sir. Morning. I understand.
Well, we didn't want to give you a variance or not give you a variance based on the marsh when you needed one for the other, but apparently you don't need one for the other, so that's not before us.
Yeah. Any other questions, Mr. Portman, at this point? Okay. Portman, if you'll have a seat, I'll ask, is there anyone else speaking for or against this variance this morning? We've got a crowd here. Step up.
Morning. My name is Nick Beatty. I live at 6 Highwater Court. I'm the new home that was just constructed. I just wanted to ask a question, I guess, and maybe just point out this neighborhood when –
Give me your name again, please.
Nick Beatty, B-A-T-E-Y.
Okay. Just raise your right hand, sir.
Yes, sir.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
These lots were a part of a planned unit development. In my understanding, when we bought and we started building, that when something is part of a planned unit development, that if the marsh buffer encroaches more than takes away more than, I think it's 18%, but I could be wrong on that percentage, but there's a percentage that if the marsh buffer takes away from it, it makes the lot unbuildable due to that the lot is buildable. That you have to provide a variance in order to allow for the lot to be used for its planned, intents, since this was a planned unit development. So that's something I think should be considered here. Our lot didn't require that variance because it didn't encroach. The way ours is situated is the 35 feet is behind us before it gets to the marsh setback, the DNR's marsh buffer line. So I know that both lots on either side of us will have to deal with this problem. And my only observation that I've made living there over the past 6 months is that there are people looking at these lots almost every day. So they're highly sought after lots, and there are people who own these lots that are either trying to sell them right now. They're both for sale. And if they can't build on it, what's going to happen? I guess that's my question, is what's going to happen with these lots if they can't be built, if the variance can't be provided?
You're asking for
I mean, I live there, so I'm curious.
That goes back to the Lucas Supreme Court decision and whether or not the owner would want to challenge it based upon a taking under the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which is a basis of that decision. We're not here to decide that this morning.
I'm not trying to press that.
Very clear about that. There's been no court, certainly not in Chatham County to my knowledge, that has considered this issue. And the Lucas case, I've read it, and it's factually similar, to be honest with you. But that would be up to the owners to decide whether or not they want to challenge. Let me ask you, when did you buy your lot?
June of 2022.
June of 2022.
Yes.
And you were told that this 18% of the high ground of the platted lot was the law.
I was told that as part of my due diligence during buying my lot, that there is an ordinance variance that is guaranteed that if the marsh buffer encroaches on more than a certain percentage of your lot, my understanding was 18%, but I can't quote that. There was a percentage that if it encroaches to where it makes the lot unbuildable, that a variance is automatically granted. Now, this was during my due diligence. I don't have any facts in front of me. I don't have anything to base that on. I was just asking a question about that.
And all right.
I don't know if that's the state law that was mentioned that it doesn't apply here. Not 100% sure.
There is an 18% requirement within the statute, the Georgia statute, that by virtue of a enabling section C, allows Chatham County to go forward and enact its own ordinance and essentially trump state law. Okay. Is my reading of it. And I think that's what staff is telling us here when this lengthy. So we're really looking at the environmental overlay statute here in Chatham County and whether it applies and should be varied from. So do you have anything else for us this morning?
Only that I'm supportive of neighbors being able to purchase and live next to us. I don't see it any more damaging than what we currently have.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else in favor or against the proposed variance?
Morning.
Good morning. Your name?
I'm Jacqueline A. Muller, the property owner.
Okay. Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help God?
I do.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I'm just here to give a little historical perspective. My husband and I purchased the lot in 04, not 05, from Lopez Construction. I think it was developed in 01. We did have all, intention of building on the lot. Unfortunately, he passed away in 05. I at that time decided to sit on the lot, hopefully maybe buying or building on it once I retired. Unfortunately, I was not able to do that, and I thought I'd save it for my son so he could build on the lot and kind of, you know, do what his father wanted to do, would build a beautiful home on that lot with the beautiful view, et cetera. But he relocated, and he's not coming back to Chatham County. So I'm just asking for consideration so the new homeowners can enjoy that lot like we all had intensive purposes of. And that is it.
Any questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Is there anyone else this morning? All right. Does staff want to clarify anything before we close the record?
I would just like to enter the staff report into the record at this time.
Say again, please.
I would just like to enter the fullness of the staff report into the record officially at this time.
Admitted.
There was a question on what can happen to these lots if someone can't build them. There are other options. There are buyout programs eventually if Chatham County pursues that. So there are options for kind of what can happen to them if they aren't developed. Obviously, I can't speak to Chatham County in a buyout program now, but I just wanted to provide that as an answer as a future option.
Okay. Thank you.
Chairman.
Hello. Can you hear me?
There's someone online. Okay.
Yes, this is Melanie Wilson. How are you?
Well, do you swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Right. I want to make it really clear that this is not a taken. I know that you referenced that, but I really want to make it clear that this is not.
That's an ultimate decision for a court or a jury, whether it is or it would not be. That's the standard that the Supreme Court has set.
I understand that, but I just wanted to make it clear that we as staff are not qualified to make that determination.
I understand that. I understand that. And whether it is or is not a taking is not for this board to consider.
Thank you.
That's above our pay grade.
That, trust me, it's above mine as well. I just wanted to make that clear. Thank you so much for letting me speak.
Right. Thank you. Everyone understand that? We are not coming out and saying this is or is not a taking under the Fifth Amendment clause of the U.S. Constitution. Let me make that very clear. Okay. That is for the Superior Court of Chatham County to decide, if anyone. All right. Any discussion by the board?
I wanted to say to you, I do appreciate the diagrams and everything that you've presented today. Given the concerns that were expressed about the creeping of the marsh.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a bit concerned about a monolithic slab being pretty impervious for the environment. And so I believe by a design standard that there may be something that you can do to help accommodate that this is in a wetland area and may have potential growth of the environment coming inward and perhaps still keep it buildable. Have you considered those things, or would you be willing to consider those things?
Yes. The structure, the main structure will be concrete piers. There'll be foundations and footings. Then everything else between those footings could be, it could be gravel. It could be, we could do half of this for, just for the cars for parking, for a base for the cars, so they're not. And then the other half could be pervious surface, could be pavers. We could do the whole ground level as pavers. There's some economics involved with pavers. But yes, that is something that we could consider to provide additional percolation of water, expected water to rise and cascade over the slab and underneath the building.
Mr. Chairman, I came here this morning thinking I felt one way, but as is always when you listen to the evidence, things change. I, like homeowner back there and the lot owner there live on an island which is totally surrounded by water. I live probably 300 feet from the Moon River or the Intercoastal Waterway. Certainly I, and I don't, my house isn't on piers, but I'm not in a flood zone for some unknown reason by the act of God, I guess, but certainly not in an AE flood zone. It seems to me, and this is just my personal opinion, that without a variance, that this lot would actually be unbuildable. I mean, you're not going to build a house on 256 square feet, that's for sure. I am obviously concerned about the size of the variance being asked for. But because obviously we have people here a lot, I live out at the Landings. There are numerous places there which are held next to the water, and on all those lagoons and all this, well, of course, all these regulations apply to those, and they come in here and ask for variances. And more often than not, I must say, this board has not felt amenable to voting for those because we are all in this county concerned about protecting our salt marsh, which if we have a storm, helps alleviate any type of flooding. With all that said, I'm amenable to doing this, but I would like to hear from my fellow members of the board before I make my final decision.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there any reason why you didn't ask for maybe a variance in front as well as the back to split the difference, pulling the house forward? Because it would seem like that would resolve a lot of the issues everyone has with impeding into this buffer that's set.
We're prepared for a compromised solution if the board wishes to hear or see potential. We've studied this, and we've studied this at 15 feet as well as 22 feet. This would impact the front side, obviously the front yard setback. This would move the house forward. It would be, you know, from the street. Yeah, these houses are clearly at their setback lines. By moving the house forward, it's a dynamic. It's a change to the street. It's something that we can entertain. We've crunched the numbers and we have looked at a 15 foot scenario instead of 10 foot. We've actually looked at a 22 foot scenario, and again, it pulls the house forward. And I could show those right now if the board wishes to see those options. It does impact the front yard setback. And I'll just, you know, I'd rather be fully transparent here because the question was asked. So before you is the current 10 foot, a 15 foot would move it back, and we would be, what is that, 15 feet from the property line? I didn't do the math on this, I don't have the cul-de-sac, but we would, this version, the 15 foot, would encroach into the front setback 15 feet. So 15 feet in the rear and encroach to the front 15 feet. If we go 22 feet, which is, excuse me, I am showing the 22 feet, apologize. So there was the 15 foot encroachment or the 15 foot distance and the 22 foot. And as you can see, and I'm bouncing around here, I apologize, is the house is creeping closer and closer to the street. However, it would be a compromise that we're willing to discuss. 10 foot, 15 foot, 22 foot. From an aesthetic point of view, the further back from the street, I think that the vision of the developer had, and also with the 25-foot setback, I think that vision of having the houses set back equally was the goal. But here we are discussing the importance of the nature and the buffer. So to answer your question, here are some options.
I mean, I also live on the water and I have marsh as well, and nobody buys a house on the water to look at the front yard. So that was my thought. It would actually give them a little bit more backyard too.
Right.
And that's what you're buying it for, is that.
Right. Right.
Any other comments by the board?
I have a comment based on what was just brought up.
Come on up. I'll let you speak, even though reopen the record. State your name again.
Nick Beatty.
Okay.
Thanks, Ware. I think the cul-de-sac's not large, and I think bringing the house forward is something that the other neighbors would want to hear and understand is being considered before it being voted on. And it's something that I would want to consider as well. It will be very different looking on that street with everyone else at 25, even bringing it 4 or 5 feet will make it protrude forward as you come onto that area. So I think that if that's considered, I'm just asking that it be reconsidered and that the other homeowners, that we get a chance to review that before it's voted.
Well, to make you feel better, it's not before us anyway, and they would have to file for a variance. There had to be another hearing, and to me, it looks like the further you move it up, then you run the risk of having to ask for a variance on the sideline, because the house meets everything now other than the rear. And to me, that's the only question we have before us. I mean, we're really not here to make deals. That's not our job. We sometimes push people in the right direction, but we're not here to make deals.
Going once.
So we have before us a variance request from 35 down to 10 feet. With the owner and developer willing to go back to the drawing board and do something different.
With respect to the slab, to the lower level, to the pervious surface that to maintain a pervious surface that the house is sitting on, I believe was this discussion.
Back to the comments from the board, it's my opinion that this is just too much of a bite into the marsh for me to accept. So my vote will have to be no on the variance when a vote comes up, whatever that's going to be. But are there other alternatives procedurally wise? Since we do not have a variance request on the front side of this lot, there's nothing I can consider in terms of, as Mr. Vineyard says, compromising or negotiating. So it's either withdraw the request completely at this point for a variance, or we vote on it as proposed.
I do have one more question. Is there any habitable space over this 10-foot extension that's called out as the deck cantilevered at the setback line? Or is it just pure deck?
It's pure deck. Pure deck. There's nothing habitable.
And essentially the deck is the reason that you're asking for the variance in the first place.
No, the size of the house, the actual size of the house is what we're asking for.
If you look at this red line here, where it says 35 current county marsh setback line, so this is the reason here, and in this blue was where it looks like it maybe has been updated a little bit, but they want it to move it back to. But this on the survey, this is where 35 feet from that marsh sits.
Understood.
That's right. Correct on your drawing.
Okay. That's correct. So if we go back to the original drawing, again, the heavy sanded hash line is the only area where we could fit. We could park a car there, but that's it. And so again, requesting and understanding that Chatham County's EO ordinance trumps the state. The 10 foot came from the subtraction, obviously, of 35 foot and 25 foot. The 25 foot is exempted from this property. But we have the Chatham County 35 foot, and that's where the 10 foot came from, just for the record.
I will let you know I'm kind of agreeing with Mr. Corsi on this whole scenario, because regardless that it is not what they originally designed to view from the front, I do know from living on a marsh environment, causeway you come over to get to where I live, when the marsh starts to move, the water starts to move, that water can come in, and it may come into the back of this lot, but it also may push into the lots next door. So it may blow out any concrete or any pavers or anything in the back of your lot as that water comes forward without a marsh to protect it. So it's hard for me to say, it would be hard for me to vote and approve at this point for those reasons, because I feel like the houses next to it also are put into detriment with this actual proposal.
Before a vote, may I take a minute to confer with my clients?
All right. If there's no other discussion, do I hear a motion on the floor? Sure.
I can reinvent this wheel. I mean, this is a rectangular house. This is a shape.
Yeah. Worthless lot.
don't use that.
I know.
Word.
That's my equity. That's why I was never a judge.
Don't use that word.
I would have had a lot of guts equity, which I used to claim that all of our judges had.
We've been admonished by staff. Don't use
it. Yeah, never worked out that way.
Sir, do you want us to vote on it?
Yes, we're ready to
do. Okay.
Well, I'll make this easy or hard, one or the other.
I will move that for the reasons outlined by the petitioner and his representative, in that this lot would actually be unbuildable without a variance, that the Board of Zoning Appeals of Chatham County grant the variance as requested.
Do I hear a second to that motion? Hearing none, that motion must fail. Do I hear another motion?
They will continue.
I need a motion to bring resolution. The motion to approve the variance just failed because it wasn't seconded. So we're on to, is there another motion which is different from Mr. Vineyard's, which would, I assume, be to deny the variance?
That's the only other option. Okay.
Yes.
I will make a motion to deny the variance. I'm sorry.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. All right. Voice vote, please. All in favor of the motion to deny the variance, say aye.
Aye.
And all opposed?
Nay.
Okay. We have two nays. And I was an aye. So four ayes, two nays. Am I right?
Right.
Okay. Okay. Go back to the drawing board, please.
Just so I understand, what just happened?
your variance was denied.
Variance was denied.
Okay. Based upon what staff has said and what you have said, I mean, I'm not going to speak for everyone here, but in my opinion, it's too much of a bite into the 35-foot setback.
Yes, sir.
Now, if there's some reason you want to go back and alter the front and back setback, and I think your neighbors would at least like to be consulted on that issue.
Gotcha.
That would be preferable. Not saying that we won't consider it again, but I think 25 out of 35 feet is a little more than we're willing to handle.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Makes sense?
Makes sense.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Last matter on the agenda is a nation of officers for 2024, and we're already into the third month here. All right. Do I hear any nominations for officers?
They broke the
I would like to nominate Mr. Corsi as chairman. You know, I don't always agree with you, Jim,
Mr. Vineyard as vice chairman.
Because then we can disagree.
All right. There's a motion on the floor for Mr. Corsi and Mr. Vineyard as chairman and vice chairman. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? You don't. Here's that decision.
Okay.
Scalia is was such an incredibly bright guy. And for those of you who want to know, this decision was 1992.
Yeah, 1992.
Yeah, let me see what the standard was again. The decision was the landowner in South Carolina bought two lots that he intended to build a home on, and then South Carolina enacted another law which barred the landowner from erecting homes on the lot or lots. And after 40 some odd pages of single space, the net result was that the Supreme Court, when a state enacts a regulation that deprives a land owner of all beneficial, economically beneficial use of a property, it's a taking under the Fifth Amendment clause of the U.S. Constitution. It goes through a long litany of standards and what must be done, which we don't want to get into and we shouldn't get into. What we had in front of us is the Chatham County ordinance.
Boom.
So, and the taking is, I'm not sure what that means. I'm sure there have been other decisions. What economically beneficial use deprivation is, and it seems to me that's going to be a sliding scale, factually driven by whatever court's considering.
And I feel like I've been pushed forward, even though not everybody's in agreement with that plan. It's not a complete denial of use. There is a way around this.
Yeah, it's a denial as proposed.
Right.
And if he wants to go back and reconsider and redraft and, you know.
And wait 1 year.
We may consider something less than that, but 25 out of 35 feet of a marsh in a rapidly rising sea, they're going to be stepping out into wetland or out the back door here shortly.
We discussed as builders noticing that it would be detrimental, we felt like, with the lots next to, because if that water flows in with no marsh,
I think that goes to this gentleman's point, you know, before doing anything or, you know, at least consult your neighbors about how it's going to impact them visually and otherwise.
So. Just went to Chatham County site plan review and they got a phone call. I walked in love with him and I don't know how a person on this lot could even get flooded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you even if you do build, I hope we're well enough that it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, the one, you know, it's like, yes, you potentially can put a structure. I'm not looking at plan management. From my understanding, that conversation is very difficult to obtain. Or if you do obtain it, it's very expensive. Like, almost. So it, like the building.
You know that well, my.
Yes, you can put something there, but it's.
Well, so this came to SPR at least two different times with two different potential purchasers. And I think someone just kind of pushed forward at the behest of a realtor. And so what happens with these parcels is that they continually come as a phone call to myself or Brad or Nicobe generally, and we will forward them to SPR and the engineers will kind of, you know, look at people twisted when they come in and they will have that conversation and say, absolutely not. And you will get an architect or a realtor who will drag this person in here under the pretense that they can get a variance. So
thank you for doing that before someone spends money.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank staff for doing a great job.
Yeah.
You know,
it really was.
It's our job to make decisions up here, but you make it a little easier. And,
yeah.
And we do have a difference of opinion.
You know, I can see the 9 million, you know, I put a report, but it is a difficult issue.
Yeah.
And I think as, you know, we have to accept, like, when we look at next level projection, what we're seeing now is linear. But we hit 2040, 2060, it starts, that curve turns exponential. And I think also understanding, you know, the marsh as an ecosystem and how it rolls back on itself. You know, I drove out to Littleton Island, and the whole subdivision is just an infilled salt marsh. You know, the salt marsh doesn't stop, like, right there. You can turn that off. the salt marsh doesn't just stop there. But obviously, like, the jurisdictional line is what counts. Me saying, as an ecologist, this is just an infilled salt marsh. You know, the maritime force that is supposed to succeed the salt marsh is further back.
Right.
But obviously, you know, that survey line is what counts here. And so it's just trying to learn about, okay, what is this changing world? You know, I'm from the coast, not Georgia coast, but it's like I can say, you know, I've seen these changes, and flooding is no joke, even on inland river flooding. It's no joke. So, it's just an educational issue for us all, even if building, we have to
and understand that this is not the end. There are remedies here, and he may have a good faith argument that this the enactment of this Chatham County ordinance for 35-foot has deprived him of the use of this of this lot for the purpose for which it was intended. And if a judge somewhere decides that that's what's happened, then it's eminent domain and he gets compensated for the market value of that lot.
I would be concerned if I lived next to any of those lots to be built on. That would be my big thing, living on the water like I do and having seen the changes where on my island alone and the influx of how water comes in as the marsh decreases back. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're worried about our causeway caving in at this point in areas because of that. And if people don't think it won't happen, oh, we just will.
Oh, you don't have to go far except to Tybee Road to know that when I was young, that water rarely ever got up to that road.
If you're interested in the NPO, we just had a study done by PGA about roads that are vulnerable to sea level rise. It's really great. It's an online tool that you can get on our NPO website, not just the NPC website. But yeah, it's really great. It'll tell you exactly, like, you know, what roads are expected to be most vulnerable to the sea level rise, tidal flooding, precipitation, all the way up. So if you're interested about your own personal road, you can actually type in your road. You know, I live on blah, blah, blah Avenue. And you can see that. Yeah, like what's projected. Kind of that. Sarah.
Looking a little better.
Yeah, not on your left when I move to Denver. And Atlanta's out of. I'm not moving there either. So.
Yeah. We are adjourned.
Guys, this has been.
If we could please have adjournment.
Thank you.